Tidbits Pod 47.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is
Jack Tidball
when I lay my
tidbits
upon thee.
Bon bloody jour, mon ami. Ça va? Tranquille. Excuse my French. And welcome aboard to Timbit's Pouch. My name is Jack Tidbollocks. And June the 7th be with you. How the bloody hell are you? All right. Lovely to hear it. And I think this is the point where I'd normally tell you where I am, sort of, you know, where I'm strolling and trolling, walking and talking, that kind of thing. But this one's going to be a bit different. I've probably given it away in the episode title, but if you haven't read the title, don't. Let's build a bit of suspense. So last time we chatted, I was on Riddlesdown Common in Greater London's fashionable South Central, and London itself being England's premier southeastern conurbation. Life was good, right? We're chatting some shit, talking about Charlie Chaplin and that, good times back in February. But as it's going to come clear, February was a bit, I was in the middle of a bit of an uncertain patch, a bit of an admin limbo. So, yeah, I think I briefly said last time that I had a bit of a plan in the pipes and all was soon to be revealed or whatever. But, to get that plan together, it turned out to be a bit of a ball ache. A lot of work for sure. So, yeah. And I did start actually recording a few of these, but I ended up jumping ship because, I was finding it impossible to not just moan on about the frustrations with, sorting all the paperwork and that. And I guess I could have done one an Oscars one, a Will Smith one back when, the pursuit of slappiness and all that happened. But all I would have said is that my Oscar prediction was right in the only review I did other than James Bond. But and then go on to sort of repeat, other people's knee-jerk opinions and that. And yeah, whatever, it was rubbish. So been that. And because I was in those, knee-deep in all the paperwork and that, it was all, one day it'll be filling this form, and then the next day there'd be a pushback, or there'd be some test to do, lots of chops and changes, dealing with the international post and all weird, dodging newspaper headlines and delays and bank holidays and Chinese New Year and embassies and signatures and wrong penning colours. Or pen ink colours, and visas, work permits, criminal record checks, vaccination certificates, unearthing degree certificates, TEFL top-ups, money-saving medical exams, x-rays, blood tests, all sorts, mate. Like, it's been, Yeah, it's been a lot, and all of the waffle I was doing in those recordings just ended up being sort of just fears and frustrations about all of that admin. So yeah, and anything as well in that whole process, it could have gone wrong, and then, you know, I would have talked about it all, said it's all a good plan, this is what's happening, and then, you know, everything gets delayed again, or potentially, it was, well, very likely it could have just disappeared completely. So, you know, everything had to be right. And yeah, I'm not religious or superstitious or whatever, but I didn't just want to put the ideal outcome, like put it on tape, published to the internet forever, and then kind of jinx it and have to backtrack, like, oh, when's your plan happening, what happened with that? And you know, if it didn't work, then I'd just probably be, you know, it would be a horrible one to listen back to, and I'd be asked, like, fielding questions about it forever. So we're actually at this point as well, it's probably annoying that you don't know what the plan is, isn't it? So I'll tell you what, I'm going to structure this like Pulp Fiction and this is the big ending now. I mean, at this moment, you probably hear, I'm in a, just kicking my legs, in a lovely, lovely bathroom. It's like a leisure centre, beautiful. In this really nice hotel. Well, certainly compared to what I'm used to. And yeah, it's got a hot tub in here. And well, you can probably hear the bubbles and the little aircon machine thing going up there. And yeah, I've opened up the blind and I'm looking out on the evening streets of Taipei. I'm in Taiwan, mate, bloody Taiwan. And so far, it's fucking amazing. So yeah, although this episode is going to be about all the ball ache and how I got here and the journey and all the quarantine and all that, yeah, now you know it's kind of worked out. But yeah, if you're interested in how and, you know, what went on to get here, stick about and let's rewind back to the origins of the plan, back to the the start of the road to Taiwan or whatever, back in, like, we're talking 6 months ago, December, late December, in the Christmas Gooch, 2021. I was doing, I mean, work-wise, I was doing, you know, bits and pieces, volunteering, applying for jobs, you know, all that good stuff. But, I mean, you know what it's like, if you don't care about the job you're going for, you're not going to get hired. Or worse, you do care, but then you're shit at it because you've got no experience, and it's, yeah, just a bit embarrassing. So, job, all that stuff wasn't going well, and in some interviews, I mean, you could kind of tell that the person at the other end, like the interviewer, I mean, they're thinking, yeah, this, I don't care what this guy says, this guy's not a lifer here. So yeah, didn't get a lot of, like, your generic office job kind of stuff. But then I started other jobs, good jobs, and stuff that I thought I'd be good at, but then after a few days, you know, you just, like, you get the feeling like, yeah, I'm wasting their time here, sort of thing. So nip it in the bud, get out early. And well, yeah, job hunt wasn't going well. I hadn't found the right thing yet. And like I said, it's December, it's late night, and I'm surfing the web like people my age do. We surf the information superhighway. How romantic, you know, surfing, none of this browsing bullshit. And yeah, I'm surfing through cyberspace, but then the thought hits, and I'm like, mate, you've spent all of that time, you know, doing that TEFL course, and, you know, even on here I made that lovely TEFL joke about nonstick pans, and that went nowhere. And yeah, I've been learning Spanish every day. I had Duolingo streak of, like, it would have been like 500 days back then. It's more than 700 now, kept it going. Yeah, I love language and talking in front of crowds or groups. And I thought, yeah, why not just fuck off and go and teach English somewhere? your bloody, your nana, what you like, you know, what's your bloody like? So I'm like, yeah, that brilliant moment. I was like, mate, I'm fucking teaching abroad. Let's go for it. Flights are opening up or whatever. Gonna get out there. So I started looking for you know, jobs just teaching English abroad, and I was looking at Spanish countries first, and I thought that, you know, because it had made the most sense. I'd been learning Spanish, but after about an hour of that, I was like, yeah, none of these are really kind of revving my engine. I mean, to visit, sure, brilliant. I'm there in a flash, but to live and work, I mean, it all kind of, you know, it seemed a bit easy. And also, I didn't want to get back to anywhere that I'd been through before, and I didn't want to retread ground. So then it's like, right, expand the search and whole map. So I'm clicking around, you know, looking at my big map on the wall, and got a good feeling about a few options around, but then narrowed it down, and Asia became a definite. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to Asia. And I was thinking China, Singapore, Japan, South Korea, or Taiwan, right? And then, yeah, after a bit of reading, and again, avoiding retreading old ground, I was like, yeah, Taiwan's the one. Like, looks amazing. Like the countryside and the national parks all look fucking beautiful, and it's got a bit of edge. And, you know, out of all those others, it was like, it was most likely to give the sort of, what the fuck am I doing here? You know, this is all a bit new and mad sort of vibes. Like, you know, that's when I feel the best in life, when you're kind of a bit uncomfortable or whatever and you've got to sort things out. Like, you know, being out in the world and seeing new things, new places and that. That's what I'm all about. Like, I mean, I imagine people get that sort of, that feeling from, you know, like having babies and buying houses and all that sort of stuff. But for me, I'm just happiest, you know, out on my own when things are a bit mad. And yeah, what a wanker. But, you know, there's just too much in the world to see to, you know, waste my time settling and then telling myself I'm going to have all the fun and do all the things I want to do once I'm retired. Because it just won't be the same. So, yeah. Anyway, also, don't you think that, like, well, people sort of lose a bit of spark once they're settled, like they get a bit boring? You know, nah, I mean, that's not fair. Like, I mean, but, you know, life's just, yeah, that life's not for me. And I think I'm just reaching for excuses. It's obviously like a nice thing, but I just don't want to do that kind of thing. So, yeah, anyway, do you on this subject, do you notice the little life milestones as you go along, like you get to certain ages? Like, I remember back in my early 20s and you stopped going out, like, to get smashed or have fun or to try and pull or whatever it is, like, when you're first going out. And there's a day comes when, like, you start going out for drinks. It's like, out for drink, awful, right? So the layman, out for drinks, like, I mean, it sounds the same thing, right? But there is a massive difference. And when I'm hearing out for drinks, like when someone says, we'll go out for drinks, I'm hearing it like a kind of, like they're a robot that's been, like they've been schooling up on kind of basic human interaction. They're just like, let us meet and drink fluid. Hello, human friend. Let's go out for drinks. You know, it's like out for drinks is said by people who don't actually have fun. They certainly don't want to be there. They certainly don't want to be, you know, out and about or whatever in the place where people are having fun. But it's important for them to look like they're a normal human. So they're just sort of, they're going to have one or two, put an update online, you know, to show the other robots that, you know, that they're interested and they can, you know, they're out for drinks and then they just go home. And it's like what the hell is that? And, you know, people have got these kind of self-imposed life rules, like,
you can't eat a sandwich for dinner. That's not normal. Sandwiches are for lunchtime. I want to be normal. Please think that I'm normal.
Like, I mean, if you want to be normal, you're just saying that kind of life's not for living. You just want to blend in and exist. Like, it's a kind of, like a big routine that you want to exist inside, and then one day it's just all going to stop and you're going to have a lovely normal life. It's kind of weird. You've got to mix it up. Don't be a robot. And I mean,
you can't put hot sauce on cheese on toast. I mean, that's not the correct procedure.
Oh, man. But yeah, definitely. I don't know. It's definitely just like a little harmless phrase, isn't it? Out for drinks. But it is the sort of flagpole for that kind of... I remember I was trying to explain this pissed on a train, right? And this is back... I've just had... oh, God. Yeah, I think we've been in Pasha. You know, the Pasha that used to be near London's fashionable Victoria train station, right? And it would have been... maybe I was like, I just turned 23 or 24... And yeah, I couldn't really explain this out to drinks thing then. And I haven't done a good job now, but it's like, just out to drinks, out for drinks. Just grinds my gears. It's kind of weird. But anyway, well, actually, yeah, like even Pasha as brackets grown up now, isn't it? Like the building, instead of being a club or whatever it was, the building is now a lovely food court. You go around, get your little buzzer and order your food and that. Maybe that's the comparison, but for another day. All right, a better one, a better sort of youth milestone thing, right? Meals. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love a meal. I'm a big lad, but it's the implied status of the whole thing when you're in sort of certain restaurants or whatever, and I think I've only ever been to one or two where it's probably like, oh, come in. You know, like there's a guy there with a towel over his arm or whatever. But it's just kind of, it just feels a bit weird. Like, why am I being served and treated nicely just because I've walked into a building? I found it really weird and uncomfortable. And it's like all the terms as well that you've got to use when you're in restaurants, like, You have to order stuff, ordering. Like, why am I now making orders? I mean, what did you order? And it sounds friendly, but you're still ordering, you know, like bossing people about. And kind of, who am I and who are you to just go in there and make orders? Like, it's kind of intrinsically kind of harsh, isn't it? Like, status affirming. You know, you can be as polite as you like, but if you're making orders and then... Well, and you're kind of believing that that's just a fine thing to do and you deserve that status just because you walked in the building. You're a bit of a knob, aren't you? But I reckon it is just syntax, it is just language or whatever, but I reckon instead of ordering, it should just be that you ask for stuff and that, I mean, the chat would be, oh yeah, no, what did you ask for kind of thing? And that's nicer. And you sort of ask for what you like and then... If it comes, quality. If it's majorly wrong, you just go somewhere else next time, don't you? Like, that's a good way. And you're probably like, but my son would die of a peanut allergy if I can't order the chef to cater for my boy's specific needs or whatever. I mean, that is a good point. But if there's potential, you know, in anything in life, if there's potential... that any cookery that's out of your immediate control is going to kill you, or in this case, your gammy son, don't take that risk, mate. Like, ask for the recipe, sure, make it at home. Everyone's a winner. You know, But I'm paying and I want to be served to get my money's worth. I deserve service and I deserve that service because I'm giving them my money kind of thing. And it's just not a nice way to pay, man. It's irrelevant. Like, the food is what you're paying for. And it's not an excuse to be a wanker and treat people badly. Like, you know, snapping your fingers and shit. And all the money in the world, even if it's the most expensive meal in the world, doesn't give you, like, an excuse to be rude to people. And certainly, walking into a restaurant doesn't make you better than whoever's working in there. Like, yeah, it's kind of weird. And wait for it as well. Next time I'm in a restaurant, you'll be like, oh, look at Jack. What a hypocrite. He said restaurants are bad. I'm not saying restaurants are bad. And I'm not saying don't go to restaurants. I'm just saying that we need to, you know, we've all got to agree to get rid of the weird status hierarchy thing that a lot of them have. And, well, side point, talking of restaurants, actually, let's get rid of breakfast menus as well, please. Or at least don't make them compulsory, you know, before a time. Because, I mean, it's just the worst thing is it's like heartbreaking when you get in, you go into a restaurant and you're too early. And now you've got a worse menu to choose from. Like, it's all eggs, like different type of eggs or whatever. And, you know, breakfast is just all eggs, isn't it? And that can fuck off. But I'm not going to get into eggs now. Let's park that. I mean, there's a good bit about the time of restaurants and all that sort of stuff, like the different stuff they serve. In the film Falling Down, bloody, really fucking mad film. And I mean, his argument in it as well is the opposite, but we would have the same solution, if you know what I mean. If you could just get whatever you want at any time or ask for whatever you want, that would be it. Anyway, watch that, Falling Down. Really good film. It's mad. Like, yeah, have I spoken about this restaurant thing before? Anyway, things change, you know, opinions change all the time. Don't use this as a sort of permanent record of my immutable thought kind of thing. Like, oh, that's what he said back in Tidbits 47, so that's what's gonna be true, and that's what he's committed to thinking forever, and that's set in stone. I mean, you know, don't play with this audio in like 20 years time when I'm kind of punching the air because I'm having an egg brimmed fast food breakfast and, you know, I'm asking people to go out for drinks and shit. Because that's going to happen someday, isn't it? You know, you do all, you know, it happens when you get a bit older. But, you know, this now, just we're just chatting now. You know, that's all this is. And, you know, it's not a permanent document. So, whatever. Like, yeah, you got to let the shit chat in your life, really. Like, that's the worst thing, isn't it? Just had a chat with my mate Ginger Bob, right? And we're talking about when you're kind of sitting in the pub and someone's fact checking everything everyone says. And that's the opposite of why you're there, isn't it? Like, I don't know, you say something, they're like, oh, that doesn't sound right. Let's Google it. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I was right. And that's not correct. And yeah, well, I know that the chat isn't enjoyable now, but at least our facts that we're all exchanging have to be, you know, at least we're absolutely accurate, and that's the most important thing about interaction, isn't it? But no, just no, no. And that same guy, you know, you've got to stop filming a nights out as well, everyone. That's a thing. What are you doing? You're never going to watch the videos back. And it's always like, I don't know, like these weird, they want receipts of everything they've done. So they're like, yeah, look, I've got a video of some, you know, look at this wanker doing a silly dance or whatever. I mean, you're the wanker for filming it. Like, let people live. Anyway, like, what am I saying? Relish the shit chat, right? I was at Riley's the other day with my mate Johnny, Colin. Hello, lads. And, yeah, we were on one of my many drawn-out goodbye meetups. And, Johnny comes out with this theory, right, that if you're stuck out in the desert or, you know, whatever, you're at sea in a dinghy, like, you would actually starve to death faster
if you only had a tiny bit of food every day, like instead of just going with absolutely nothing. And he's like, well, it's because a little bit of food, it's going to get your metabolism going, isn't it? And then you'll starve quicker. But I mean, was he wrong? I don't know. But I mean, probably. I really don't know. But did we look it up? No. And was it fun? Yes. And that's the main thing, isn't it? You just got to enjoy the shit chat. And I mean, in other circumstances, someone's going to be there. You know, they're going to pipe up. Well, I think let's look this up. Let's find out the facts. It's like, you're killing it, mate. But what's on about? Age milestones, right? So I think the restaurant ordering status thing, that's I don't know. I mean, the big one recently that I've gone through, particularly this is kind of like a late 20s onwards thing, right? And it's hosting. So you get to an age where you can't just go around your mate's house anymore. Like to hang, whatever they say, like just go around playing computer games or whatever you used to do back in the day. Like now it's all about hosting, right? So it's kind of like this unwritten hosting contract where, I mean, if you're out in a pub with your mates or, you know, in a field or whatever, like, can't think of good examples, but everyone's on the same level in those kind of things. Even if you're bowling or any shit like that, like it's easy. Everyone's on the same level. You're not messing about. But now, like the moment you go into someone's house, which, I mean, it always has to be for some big plan or an occasion, right? No one's popping around people's houses anymore. You need to give people at least a week's notice because, you know, because they need to prepare their house and spray air freshener and all this crap. Like, they make their house into like a unlivable sort of showroom standard before you get there. And I mean, it's kind of weird. I don't believe that people would actually make beds. If no one else is gonna see it, why would you bother? Like, are you actually making your bed every day just for the sake of doing it? Like, I just don't believe that you do. It's like, it's like ironing, right? Like, if you're spending a day and it's just you in the house and no one's going to see you and you're not going to leave, are you going to iron your shirt before you put it on? I mean, I'm sure some of you are like, yes, of course, it's nice. But I just don't believe you would. And that's what I feel about making beds and shit like that. But anyway, right. So, yeah, hosted. So the day comes and now, you know, you've planned it for a week and now you're a guest and they're hosting you, right? You go in and they're kind of, you know, it's all very, very nice. And, you know, oh, can I get you a drink or whatever? Take your shoes off. Can I take your coat? You know, come and meet my lovely wife and the kiddies. And come on, gang, Tipple's here. Let's play a lovely game in the parlour or whatever. I mean, that really does sound fucking nice. And to be fair, it is. But it's the hosting game, isn't it? Because they're doing that and, you know, they're giving you an overly nice time because there's an underlying agreement, a kind of tacit clause, right, in the hosting contract that someday now I'm the hostee, but someday I'm going to have a lovely house and a wife and kiddies, and that person is going to come to my house, to my parlor, and they're going to play nice games and shit, you know, and they'll then judge my level of hosting, right? Oh, he's a lovely host, you know. But for me, that life's never going to, well, never say never, but that's not happening for a long, long while, if ever, right? So now, kind of being hosted, you're just that wanker, aren't you? And it just feels a bit weird. So, and you can't, if you're in someone's house now, it's very hard to just be on the same level because, you know, once you're in their house, you're the hostee, right? And you know, I can fill up my own cup or whatever. Like, yeah, I'll work it out, but you know,
And as well, and this is probably the main thing, like if you keep getting hosted and, you know, nothing's coming back the other way, there's, I don't even have a, you know, I you just sort of turn it like a social parasite. And I mean, sure, I can be a very charming guest. You could be the most charming guest in the bloody world, right? But if you're not ever going to host, then you're kind of breaching the contract, right? And yeah, it's sort of just this one-way traffic. You just feel like a bit of a wanker. So you're kind of, your options become, it's like settle, get a lovely house and the wife and the kiddies and that. You know, make yourself into a host, you know, so you can, you know, do your part and pay people back for hosting you or whatever. Or you've got to kind of constantly push for the pub times or like neutral ground where no one's hosting and you're kind of just out and about. So, yeah. Or, right, to get this podcast back on track, you can fuck off, can't you? You can fuck off out of the country. But, I mean, yeah, ignore that last bit. Like, the, you know, the pull factor of wanting to see the world is far, far greater than the push factor of avoiding a normal life, right? You know. But, yeah. Why did he go to Taiwan? Yeah, because he was avoiding hosting and ordering and eggs and shit. What the fuck? But, yeah, I think this is... Oh, this is taking a bit of a wrong turn. Where were we in the process? Right. Oh, yeah, I was applying for the teaching jobs, wasn't I? And that we can kind of skip over because I only applied for the one job. And I applied, and then a couple of weeks later, I had to plan this. There was like a 90-minute meeting or whatever. And, you know, they asked a load of questions, like an interview. And then I did a bit of a teaching presentation and that. And, you know, the lady, like, she was really, really friendly and really nice in the interview. So immediately I was like, yeah, that's it. That's the job I want. Like, that, and that's where I want to be as well. So, you know, if I don't get that, then I'm just going to, you know, give up on this whole idea thing. Like, because that's it kind of thing. And, you know, if you build yourself a net to fall back on, like just give yourself loads of options, then there's a very good chance that you're just going to fall back on that, right? Like it's best to just commit to the one thing. So yeah, after, you know, it was a bit of initial admin and messing about, like things actually started, you know, actually looking like they're falling into place, looking a bit more certain. So yeah, at that point, like that was when I called my brother and he'd, like a while back, like he'd done a similar thing and he came away from it. Like, and he could speak Chinese, and that's, you know, I've always been jealous of that and impressed by that. So I was like, yeah, call him up or something. Like, what do you reckon? Like, explaining what I was going to do. And he's like, yeah, go for it sort of thing. And yeah, that was it. So after getting that chat and the job, the interview and that went really well. And yeah, like the focus then just became, I was just walking back and forth to the gym every day. And then when I wasn't in the gym, you know, clocking up like 20 odd thousand steps a day, I'd go back and just do paperwork or call people with weird times and, you know, because of the time difference and all that, getting it all together. But yeah, it was just visa and work admin and gymming. That's what I did for months kind of thing between, you know, between our last chat. But yeah, and also as well, that at that stage, I, like after I called my brother, I made the mistake of kind of letting the cat out of the bag to my other mates that I was gonna, you know, like it kind of like I still had all of that admin to do that I listed earlier and more, but I kind of let it slip to people that I was planning to go away, you know, to a few good old pals like, you know, Robbie Davro, Chip and Ginger Bob and that. But once your plan's out of the bag, you're sort of stuck in this goodbye limbo. And it's like, oh, you should have a leaving party, we'll do something and whatever. Well, you know, that would have been ideal if you could still do that. And, you know, like having a big party, just a one and done a week before, and then you just go, right? But this is like mid-February at a stage, and all I had was I had a fixed date that I needed to be in the country by. And yeah, nothing else was sort of certain. So yeah, and nothing really became certain, certainly in my mind, that it could all actually work until, like, I was probably like, yeah, this is going to happen, at, like, a day before the flight, once I'd had the corona fit to fly stuff. I was like, yeah, now this is happening, sort of thing. But back in February, like, there I was, and I had this admin window, right? And you kind of, I mean, even then, maybe not as early as February, but certainly like March or whatever going forward, I was like, you're kind of half saying bye to people, but you're doing it too early and things aren't certain. So the goodbye is sort of, it's stuck kind of, you know, it's not like you can't really say it properly because you might see him again, right? It's sort of like when you bump into someone at the supermarket and, you know, you have your big catch-up chat, like you buy the veg. How's missus? Oh, yeah. Yeah, kids. Yeah, yeah, good as gold. Yeah, mine? Oh, yeah, good as gold, mate. Yeah, can't complain. See you later. You know, you have your big heart-to-heart, the works, your proper catch-up, your big hug, big smooch goodbye. And then 5 minutes later, you see them again at the pasta and then the beans. And then you're kind of, I mean, you can see that they see that you're heading for the bread, but then they know you're going for the bread, so they just think, fuck it, and they don't go to the bread. And it kind of spoils it, right? So now you're kind of, like, they're ducking you, or maybe you're ducking them, or, and it's like you think to yourself, yeah, why didn't we just plan to walk around the whole shops together and we could have had a nice catch-up or whatever, make a thing of it. But you've poorly planned the goodbye, so, well, you poorly planned the encounter, so you kind of fucked the whole situation. Where if yeah, that's how I, you know, like, ideally what you want, if this supermarket analogy is still working, you sort of bump into them at the doors, like whilst you're going in and they're coming out, you have a nice chat, proper goodbye, and then on you bounce, right? But if you sort of plan for that, it can easily fuck up. And that's a very small little window to make things work, and you can't do that with everyone. And you sort of, yeah, oh man. But it's like you kind of rush these plans to meet, and then it falls through, and then you haven't got another date that you can do it. So yeah, I did it poorly, right? So yeah, and I dragged out a goodbye because I wasn't sure that things were actually going to work out. And it was the only way that it sort of could have been done, really, in the circumstances. And I'm glad, you know, I did manage to see a lot of people before going as well, which means a lot. And thinking about it, like, May was fucking brilliant, you know what I mean? And thanks to everyone that I did manage to see. But so those a little bit further afield, like those, you know, like uptown or whatever, I mean, it was just my poor planning that I didn't manage to, you know, get a date to sort of sort all these things. And it's just more people watching for when it goes wrong, right? So, yeah. Yeah, take this as a goodbye, but, you know, hit me up, man. I haven't disappeared, like, doing internet chat or whatever. But, yeah, back to the planning, right? Let's say it's back in mid-February, and all I knew at that point was that I had to get everything together, and then, you know, the date that I was going to fly out was like April-ish, end of April. And if all the admin had gone well, and, you know, then I would have been able to fly then. And at that point, you know, I had some big plans for the year. Like, there was some things I was supposed to go to. But because there's a chance that you might not be there, you've kind of got to abandon those plans. So you're not just like keeping people dangling, you know what I mean? You just say no, and then if you can't go, it's just gutted for you, kind of thing. So you're kind of maybe half committing to plans and shit, but that's not really fair. So I just told a lot of people, like, I'm going. And then if it doesn't go, it's like gutted for me. But yeah, I was optimistic as well that it would all just go through on time and I'd, you know, fuck off end of April. And everything was good as well, that I was, you know, I was calling round. And normally, the, like, let's take the embassy, for example. The embassy's normal processing time, it's usually about 3 days. You can pay for an express service to get, like, any of the admin done in 3 days, like, you know, like form authentication and stuff like this. But now, at the processing time, for anything you submit, it had this thing. It was like an estimated time of at least 18 business days. And that's for every embassy stage, and that's just the embassy. So, you know, things were going to be tight, but it was doable. And, you know, the way it worked out as well, it meant that I would have been buying my flight just a few days before going as well, which obviously isn't ideal for price or whatever, but I was still up for it. And, yeah, this stage as well, there was still a time limit, because from when you'd had your medical test and the TB x-rays and stuff, and I'd had mine in January, you know, you had a time limit to when, after you had the medical test, to when you had to be in the country. And there was a time window. And yeah, at the start, I think it was 3 months, right? Which, you know, it makes sense, because too big a gap and, you know, you could have easily just gone and caught something in that time kind of thing. So the medical test is kind of nulled. But it did mean that you end up in a situation where you've got about 3 months to do what's now become like 5 months worth of admin. And so I was like, fuck, this isn't going to happen. So I called around and, yeah, called the embassy. They're nice at the embassy. And they were just, you know, they were just assuring me. They were like, yeah, you know, don't worry about that estimated time. That's just to sort of, you know, that's just to cover us. They're like, oh yeah, we'll do it faster and it'll all be fine. And it's like, well, if you can do it faster for me and I'm a randomer that's just called, then that sort of implies that you're going to say that every single time someone calls. And then, well yeah, you can't, you're sort of writing checks you can't cash. So it's like, yeah, I just didn't believe them, right? But anyway, yeah, at that point, I was still optimistic, and I kept that golden idea of like, yep, everything for me is going to be on time or faster, and it's all going to work out in the time frame, whatever. Let's keep pushing, let's keep doing all the stuff. And then, things started coming back late or wrong. The worst thing was the medical exam, right? It came back and they were like, yeah, this medical exam, it was filled in the wrong ink color, and the medical professional has also written all over the form in a way that doesn't fit our requirements. Like, they sort of made like loads of notes on it and all this shit. It's like, what a prick that doctor was, by the way. And he was a travel doctor his job is to fill out forms like that all the time. So yeah, anyway, like, the medical form, that had to be redone. And I couldn't go to a new doctor because they're like, oh, well, if you go to a new doctor, you have to get the tests redone because whatever, we can't use someone else's examination or whatever else they said. So I'm stuck with this shit doctor. And yeah, he had to redo all the admin. So I ended up filling it all out and then he just signed it or whatever. And then, yeah, all the stuff that needed to be processed quicker than perfect, that stuff was now taking longer, and the medical form ended up taking like more than double the estimated time they'd given and all this sort of stuff. So now I was behind on the paperwork and I'm going to miss the time window to get into the country by. So I called the embassy again, explained what was going on. And this time kind of out of nowhere, like it just become a new option, they pointed me towards this different visa, a more expensive one, of course, but I mean, it didn't have as many restrictions and stuff. So I was like, all right. I still needed the medical, but it just didn't have this like real strict window or whatever else she was saying. So, but yeah, most importantly, if you do this one, then there is sort of time. So yeah, that was ideal. But, you know, I told my employer, we'd agreed that I was coming by a certain day. So I contacted them and we managed to push my work contract back a bit. And yeah, that all went well. So at that point, this is probably, I don't know, like April, early April, whatever. But now I've got a bit of wiggle time, because before it was like, all right, I need to get the stuff and it would be the 15th of April and I've got to fly out on the 23rd or something like that. So it's like, fuck, this isn't gonna work. But yeah, after that, after my extension and whatever else, I had a bit of wiggle and kept on chipping away at all the documents and all that and got everything together, everything at the that you could possibly get at the UK side, you know, for applying for the work permit. So I sent off this massive chunk of documents, right? It had everything, you know, like every page of my passport signed and dated, and the original criminal record check certificate and my degree stuff and all this stuff. Like, it was a big old wodge, right? And all paper as well. Like, it couldn't just be emailed over, because it had to be like, there was forms that were like legalized in Milton Keynes and shit, like just to make sure that I hadn't forged documents or whatever. So it's all very important that it had to be sent out and posted in, you know, whatever. But yeah, that was another lengthy thing, you know, with all the post and back and forth and whatnot. And as well, if anything had gotten lost, if I'd lost that document pack in the post, it would have been, you know, that would have meant starting the whole thing over. So it's all a bit hairy, all a bit, you know, a bit white knuckle, a bit, you know, like nail biting or whatever. But that all went well. And then, yeah, that was when I got the work permit back, smooth sailing. And then after that, there was the visa, which you can't apply for the visa before, because you need the work permit to get the visa, and it's sort of like a chain, you know, like once you've got this document, then you can apply for this one. Once you've got this one, you can do this one. And now, you know, I've got the work permit, so then I could send the permit, my passport, whatever, like a postal order and all this sort of stuff that I need to send, pictures. And I sent that out to the embassy in London, so they could sort my visa, which again took time. And then yeah, like the last thing that was left was to get the do all the coronavirus admin, right? So I had to be fit to fly with a negative test. I'm sure a lot of you have done this by now, and you had to get that negative test within 48 hours of the flight, and you had to have a certificate to show your results and whatnot. So yeah, whilst I was still waiting for the visa, I had to go into I go to the shop, make Robbie Davro, and we got a load of stuff, like filled up a massive Sports Direct bag with loads of tins and like tinned fish and beans and Ryvitas and, you know, all that sort of thing. And it was a real fucker getting it back, because I hadn't anticipated how heavy this bag would be. And then I put myself into a self-governed lockdown just to make triple sure that I passed all the corona checks, right? The quarantine, that flew by. I was in there for 2 weeks, not a problem. And well, apart from after the first week, all my fresh food was gone, apart from, like, I had frozens, and then a few, like, you know, those powdery apples. So I was like, sort of living, it felt like I was a World War III prepper in my bunker, and I was kind of eating this, I made this special stew, this bean stew thing, which it was actually banging. If you're interested, like, you get one tin of the, there's a Tesco, it's like taco beans or something, Tesco mixed beans. So one tin of that, they're nice. And then one normal baked beans, tin of tomatoes, all in the same pan. And then you just kind of cook it down, like, way longer than you normally would, until it goes really thick, right? And you get this kind of, you get a few gnarly little bean bits and whatever, scrape them off, that's all good stuff. And then, yeah, whack in some butter. I had some Utterly Butterly, but whatever, get some butter in there, and then you're fucking laughing. So, and well, certainly if you're at the tail end of a quarantine and there's no bread for your toast, have it on arrival, eat it, mate. Treat yourself. So that was my evening meals, and I was having porridge and whatever, so wasn't so bad. But yeah, did the quarantine, and the day before my flight, oh yeah, the visa came in the middle of my quarantine, and you know, we had a little procedure. My mum, you know, she helped me with that, picked it up or whatever. And then, yeah, well within a 48-hour window, I walked down, you know, walked down into Croydon, proper Croydon, you know, into the Cronks on the high street, well, near the old Alders, right? And I had my corona test, which was nice and easy. It all went well. You know, a little lad in there with a nice corporate haircut and shit, he just explained what was going to go on. Did that, went and bought a backpack. They texted, the emailed the results or whatever. And then, yeah, went home, packed my bags badly. And, yeah, then I was hot to bloody trot. And, yeah, my God, I think this is going on quite a bit. So I tell you what, like, let's draw a line under that. That's going to be today's one. And that's the Taiwan build-up, right? That's the admin. And, you know, the next one, I'll do it about the flight and the arrival and all the mad, you know, cleaning stuff and all the... Well, I'm not even going to spoil it, but the airport was insane, you know, on arrival. But yeah, maybe I'll wait until after this little... I'm in a quarantine. I'll wait till this is done here. But I'll explain it's like a day in the life of a quarantine. But I'll hold back on that just in case there's any little twists in the tale to come. But yeah, keep your eyes peeled, or less graphic, subscribe, just so you don't miss anything. And thanks for listening. Tell your mates that Tidbits Pod is back, and it's taken a turn from the nostalgic travel stories to present day travel, so it should be pretty cool. And yeah, it's now going to be a bit of a, maybe an ongoing diary, but as well, you know, that'll be the structure, but there will certainly be more shit chat woven in for sure. We will see. But anyway, yeah, that's all a bit behind the curtain. And what you need to do now is go and rate and review. The email is still tidbitspod@protonmail.com. Message me if you've got any funny travel stories or whatever. Yeah, leave your name in that, and yeah, travel nightmares or whatever you've got. I could even interview you if you fancy. We do a Zoom interview if you're up for that. That'd be amazing. So yeah, hit me up and we can have a chat. And yeah, catch you in the next one. I'm gonna get out of this bath and turn into a prune. Catch you later.
That's not our policy. You have to order something from the lunch menu.
I don't want lunch. I want breakfast.